From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you once again to the broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Dr. Alan Cairns has been preaching a series of messages on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and now he is addressing the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. In the course of this message, The Spirit of Prayer, Dr. Cairns is showing how the Holy Spirit helps believers in the place of prayer. We've already seen that prayer is one of the most neglected areas of the Christian life. Believers are often hindered in their prayer lives through ignorance of God's Word and through inability to get through to God. In developing this theme, Dr. Cairns has explained that the first thing the Holy Spirit does in every born-again person is to create a desire to pray. Today, Dr. Cairns goes on to demonstrate that the Spirit imparts strength to pray and that He gives believers wisdom to pray, especially through the spiritual use of the Scriptures in prayer. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer a question that perplexes many people. What is the unpardonable sin? The video version of these comments may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The Lord Jesus in Matthew 12 speaks of a sin that is unpardonable. It's amazing to me, you know, that when people read that passage, I always focus on that one little thing. It's one sin that's unpardonable. I have very rarely ever seen people emphasize the context, and yet the context is glorious. I remember years ago speaking to a brilliant young woman who had made a mess of her life in many ways. A lovely girl, as I say, a brilliant girl. She had got into drug abuse, and she'd even become a high priestess in witchcraft. And the Satanists were pursuing her, trying to keep her within the ranks, as it were. And she was greatly distraught to wonder, could there be any salvation for her? And I remember opening the Bible with her, Matthew chapter 12. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Now it goes on to say, you sin against the Father and the Son will be forgiven, but the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven. But I always remember what happened when we read that passage. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. And God seemed to just take that word. She asked, is that in the Bible? I showed her it in the Bible. The tears began to flow, and that girl came to Christ and has gone on with Christ in a beautiful way ever since. Why do we not emphasize the magnificence of God's mercy and focus on this one thing? Well, it's because, I suppose, of so many false theories that people, especially preachers, tell others that it looks like they have committed the unpardonable sin. Actually, the Lord Jesus was very careful in defining this sin. In the context, he was referring it to the Pharisees and the sin that they had committed. These particular Pharisees, they knew, according to Nicodemus, they knew that God was with Christ. Nicodemus said, "We know that thou art come from God, a teacher. We know that. No man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." We know that. And yet the Pharisees, in Matthew chapter 12, deliberately attributed what they knew to be the work of the Holy Spirit, they attributed to the devil. And they did it for their own rotten prejudice and their own particular, we'd have to say, their political or sectarian advantage. Now that's a terrible thing. They knew this to be the work of the Holy Spirit, and they attributed it to the devil. And Jesus said, you do that. That's blasphemy that will never be forgiven in this life or the next. Now when you stop to think of it, if what the Holy Ghost does is relegated to being the work of the devil, what is there for you? The only word that can bring light to you is the word of the Holy Ghost. The only work that can ever benefit you is the work of the Holy Ghost. But if you've already handed that all over to the devil, there's nothing left. Jesus said, that's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Some people have gone so far as to say, and they may well be right in this, that that was a sin that could be committed only with regard to the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these men had seen the Son of God, through whom the Spirit of God moved with such power. They had seen that. Nobody else nowadays, for example, could see that. So some people would actually limit that blasphemy, that particular sin, to the days of Christ on earth. Be they right or wrong in that, certainly it is defined as the deliberate attribution to the devil of what they knew to be the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
First thing the Holy Ghost does is create a desire to pray. And when a man has called on the Lord for salvation, the Holy Spirit in Christians will lead them to pray and give them the desire to pray. He will put within their souls an urgency to pray, even when there are many impediments, even when there's their own personal weakness. Yet the Holy Spirit will witness in their heart to encourage and even to drive them to prayer. If you study the Scriptures, you'll find there are basically three great areas in prayer, and the Holy Ghost is necessary to cause us to desire each one of them. The most basic aspect of prayer is worship. You can get into that, the idea of praise and thanksgiving, but there is worship. There's the recognition of who God is and what God has done. Now, how can you worship the Lord? There are books written about worship, and some of them are good and well worth reading. There's a lot of talk about worship. People tend to think, for instance, they speak of the worship service on a Sunday morning as being distinct from the evangelistic service on a Sunday evening. They tend to think that having the choir in robes, I'm not having a go at our choir in their robes, don't get me wrong, but having the choir in robes and having a more formal kind of service, that makes it a worship service. Nonsense. That's utter nonsense. We need to be delivered from that brand of Romanism that would make worship to be mere forms and ceremonies. How do you worship the Lord? The Lord Jesus said in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. There is no worship without the moving of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit creates within a believer a desire for the glory of God. Moses cried, "Show me thy glory." That is inherent in all worship. And only the Holy Spirit can give a believer that self-abasement, that the Lord may have all the honor and that he may see him in his glory. The second great aspect of prayer is confession. There is no prayer without, first, the recognition of who God is. There is no prayer, secondly, without the recognition of our sin. David said in Psalm 66 and verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." While sin is being deliberately held onto, while sin is being embraced as a viper to the bosom, then God will not hear prayer. Presumptuous sins will keep us back from the blessing of God's answer to prayer. Will not pray while there's sin being cherished. David says a very interesting thing in the 32nd Psalm. He says, "While I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." But then he said, "I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin." You see, confession is necessary to prayer. But how does a man come to see his sin? Well, only the Holy Ghost can convince and convict of sin. John chapter 16, we read this, if you remember, last Lord's Day. Only the Holy Spirit will convict of sin. Only the Holy Spirit will make a man feel what Solomon called the plague of his own heart. Only the Holy Spirit will give a man a sincere hatred of sin and wickedness and an honest confession of that to have it put away by the cleansing blood of Christ. And then, of course, the third great part in prayer is supplication, or actual asking, whether it be for ourselves or in intercession for others. There is supplication. In our text in Zechariah, the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Supplications. Only he can give us the grace to supplicate. Now, he creates a desire to pray. The first thing the Holy Ghost does. Second thing the Holy Spirit does in, as the Spirit of prayer, is he imparts strength to pray. Romans 8:26, he helpeth our infirmities. John 6:63, the Lord Jesus says that the flesh profiteth nothing. Now we've got to get this clearly. There's absolutely nothing in the flesh that's going to help us to pray. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. How do you get life in your times of prayer? How do you get vitality in prayer? It's the Spirit that quickeneth. Over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, we have these words, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, there is something within people that keeps them back, either as sinners that keeps them back from God, or as Christians that keeps them back from prayer. There is an old, carnal, wicked, fleshly, selfish, worldly nature that would keep them back either from God for salvation, or as Christians would keep them from Christ in prayer for blessing. Let me tell you, the only answer is the Spirit of God. When he moves to save a soul, then thank God that soul will pray. But in the Christian, how do you get the strength to pray? Strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened because the Holy Ghost gives power to pray. They that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah said, shall change their strength. I fear that there are so many Christians, and they're depending on the strength of their will, the strength of their body, the strength of their words, just to drive themselves to pray. That's not how to get strengthened. It is changing your strength for the power of God. And only the Holy Ghost can give you that. That's what the Bible means in Jude 20 when it talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You remember in Acts 5, you have a lovely example of this, because there you have the picture of Peter in prison, and he's going to die. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, and God answered prayer. He imparts strength to pray. Third thing he does is he gives wisdom in prayer. Now, how does he do this? Well, A, he teaches us God's will. If you're going to pray effectively, you need to know the will of God about what you're praying. Here's the important thing. If you know that you have the will of God in what you're asking, you can stake everything that you'll get what you ask. Because God's will is done. He says, I will do my will. Now that's an emphatic statement. I will do my will. Demons cannot stop him. Apostates cannot stop him. Ungodly men cannot stop him. The flow of human events cannot stop him. God says, I will do my will. And when you have the assurance of the will of God, you can stake everything that God will do it. So it's imperative, therefore, that we know God's will when we pray. So the Spirit teaches us God's will. Romans 8:27. Not only so, but coming back to that point I made, he teaches us the spiritual and proper use of the Word of God. Teaches us how to use the Scriptures. It's a capital mistake to try to pray apart from the Word of God. I was reading just a couple of days ago, once again, some of the observations of George Mueller on prayer and the connection between the Bible and prayer. Mueller was telling a congregation how he prayed. He would get up in the morning and he would get down his Bible, and he would be reading consecutively in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but he would get down his Bible and he would read a verse and he would let it sink in and he would begin to talk to the Lord through this verse of Scripture. Praise God for what had instilled in his mind as an item for praise. Soon he'd be led on to confession and supplication. But as he meditated on the Word of God, instead of just skipping lightly over it, as he let the Scriptures and the very words and thoughts of Scripture percolate, as it were, right through his brain, he was led out to pray. And he said a very interesting thing, and I hope that you'll never forget this. He said, after some years of Christian living, I discovered something. That the most important thing at the beginning of every day for me was not to serve God. It was not to reach others. The most important thing for me at the beginning of every day is to have my soul brought into a happy state with God. Very, very simple observation from one of the greatest men of prayer the world has ever known. He said, that's how I spend the beginning of every day with the Word of God, letting the words sink into my mind, lifting them up to the Lord, using them for worship, for confession, for supplication, until through the Word of God I am brought to a happy state, until I am brought to a peace of heart and mind. And then I'm prepared to serve God. Then I'm prepared to serve others. And remember, this is the man who did serve others. A man who, I think, between his 70th and 80th birthday, started on his worldwide ministry and traveled the world in the last century without airplanes and fast ships, etc., some 5 times after having set England ablaze with the work that God did through it. It's an insight. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to pray, teaching us to use the Word of God and the will of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.